Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, my dudes. Are you ready for the press conference warm-up show?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, buddy. What's up, Snake?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. How we doing?
Good, man. How are you?
It's good talking to y'all because we got like one birdhouse in the last 4 weeks for a variety of reasons. We had Thanksgiving, and then we had the white elephant. It was just too much. So it's good to be back in the saddle again.
Yes, sir. Good to have you.
Okay, so Nick says, when I was young, my dad told me, if it floats, flies, or Fs, rent it. So always rent. He says, I've been married and own a boat for almost 20 years now and considering getting my pilot's license. So my question to you boys is, what's the best advice you were given that you totally ignored?
If it floats, flies, or Fs?
Right.
Yes.
Like, so
rent it.
Rent it. Well, I've gone through a few rentals, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, he basically saying, don't ever get married. Don't ever buy a boat. Don't ever buy a plane.
Okay.
Like, you know, man, yeah. Solid advice.
Well, solid advice on the, a little late, about 30 years late on the last one, but okay. What's the advice?
That you ignore.
I mean, were you guys told
never trust
a ton?
Big butt and a smile. Because that girl is poison.
Were you guys told a ton, though, when you were younger, though, to not get married from multiple people? Not your dad, but, like, people are like, don't do it.
Man, not
don't
really.
Do it.
Not really. Just a few of the fellas, you know, that's just kind of going around trying to get what they could get.
My brother tells me that all the time.
Well, then that, everyone was just saying, hey, it's probably more inevitable than anything else. Like, it's going to happen. So that,
I think that,
I never heard that.
Because the failure rate on marriage is so high, right? It is. It's 50%. That the people that you knew that had been through it before, maybe, or maybe they knew someone who had been through it before, and they were like, no, not a chance.
Right, right.
Yeah, but think about, like, those statistics could be skewed from people who have multiple divorces.
That's true. That's true. Well, and then I'm around a family that just never... They stayed married forever. My grandparents, my mom and dad.
Yeah, same here.
My aunt, uncle, they're all in the 50s range. My other aunt is the only one that got that had been divorced.
I've got no divorces in my family on either side.
Man, that's amazing.
I do now. My two sisters and my cousin did.
I'm trying to think if I did before me. And now one of my cousins has been divorced a couple of times, so me and her are buddies.
Cousin, huh?
Cousin.
Yeah.
Heard the Larry Bird discussion earlier, and for those that missed it, you guys were talking about, and I saw what you posted too, Donnie, that sometime in the 80s, Larry Bird made a pledge to play left-handed in a game.
Against the Blazers because he was saving his right hand for the Lakers.
Yes.
That's the best trash talk I've ever heard, dude.
He held true to it, and he scored 47 points. And...
So
the highlights
absurd.
Are out there, and it is amazing. It really is. Because he knew that he couldn't shoot with his left hand from probably outside like 6 feet. Every one of those shots is in the paint, awkward, weird, hooks, wraparound layups, all left-handed, and they all went in. And he asks, is there anyone in the history of the league that could have pulled that off? And man... I think outside of early Wilt, I don't know if anyone could have done that. Because Wilt just could have dunked left-handed.
Yeah, and I feel Jordan, if he put his mind to it,
yeah,
the way he could get to the cup, could probably finish with this left and be okay. But that is just a remarkable amount of trash talk, man. That impressed me so much yesterday that I watched it 10 to 15 times, thinking, I can't believe... That he just thought in his mind, oh, let's try something. I'm going to save my right hand for the Lakers. So let's just go left with the Blazers and go out there and almost put up 50.
Yeah.
And then go beat the Lakers the next night. That dude, he was a dude, man.
He was insane.
Yeah, no. And I feel like that, you know, as time goes on, like a lot of athletes, I mean, look, Larry Bird's considered a top, depending on who you talk to, a top 5, top 10 player in the history of basketball. But I almost feel like with our generation, he was hated because I wasn't pulling for the Celtics very much.
Right, right.
As a kid, and we all thought that, at least I did. You probably did too. I couldn't stand him. But now with the hindsight that we have and people, you know, the Rick Carlisles of the world saying he's the greatest basketball player, period, I've ever seen. You know, all these guys say that played with him. I feel like he's getting his more of his due.
I think a lot of people roll their eyes when you express the fact that Magic and Bird saved the NBA. And then you'll lean more towards Magic because he was just out there and so visible and maybe a little bit more flashy and all that. But the dude is one half of the duo that saved an 100%. Entire league. And right. I don't think he gets his due. I really don't. When you start talking about the greatest players of all time, I think his name is steadily falling down the list.
Which is crazy for a dude with, what, 3 titles? Didn't he win 3 MVPs in a row?
I don't know if he won 3 in a row, but he might have.
And, you know, with the issues that he had later on in his career with his back, and that lasting image you see is him just lying on the court, and even the Dream Team, the dude was lying on the court, but...
I mean, think about it. He didn't even get into the league until he was 24, because he, you know, went to Indiana, quit, right. went to Indiana State, took a year off, played 4 years. I mean, like, his story is amazing, and the best story about Larry Bird is the Celtic team that he played on, I think, won 25 games the year before he got there, and then they won like 60 the year that his rookie year. 60. Like, he's a god. And between Larry and Magic, the fact that the finals were not even live telecast.
I know.
They were tape delayed after the local news until Larry and Magic got to the league.
And dude, maybe even after the late show. Like
late
show it was on CBS or whatever. And then all of a sudden there's NBA, the championship series of basketball is played at 11:30 at night.
As we see younger people becoming influencers right in front of our very eyes, do you guys wish that was an option when we were growing up? No.
No, I don't think I would have taken advantage of it. I wouldn't have done anything with it.
Dude, I think most young people see it as the easiest way to make cash if you can get that foothold, however it is, as a little kid. But like, I was reading an article the other day about this kid that is now a girl that's 18 now. Never heard of her, but I'm sure every kid in the country has. She was like a YouTube star when she was a little girl, and it's just kept doing it, like kept on going, you know, making money and blah, blah, blah. Well, then she got kind of pushed aside for whatever reason. And then she's like, screw it. When I turn 18, I'm doing OnlyFans. And she made $2 million in her first day.
That's incredible.
Day. Yeah.
What a weird world we live in.
I know.
I mean, you sit there and you think of somebody like Mr. Beast, who's worth, I don't even know how much. He made me a billionaire.
Yeah.
And he's got stuff everywhere from YouTube videos. And really, to me, like when I was in high school, it was more of we were doing stuff not as dangerous, but kind of like what the Jackass guys did. And then a few years later, you start seeing Jackass on TV and you're like, and it felt like we all did kind of stuff like that. We just never were filming it.
Yeah. No, that was just for our own entertainment.
Yeah, just like
that
pranks and messing with your friends and stuff like that. Yeah.
Prank calls with my friends, we would stay up until all hours of the night pranking adults.
God, I used to do that all the time.
Everything. And I never recorded one thing.
I know. And then you hear, what was it? Prank Callers was the show, right? Where they, Adam Carolla and them would get on there and you're like, man, that was a weekend occurrence.
Yes. I mean, nightly.
Crank Yankers. That's what it was called. I just remember.
Oh, yeah.
Crank Yankers.
Let's see. Do you guys consistently celebrate New Year's Eve more, or do you celebrate the 4th of July more? Meaning, he says, go to parties, drink, eat, etc. Like, which one do you consider to be the one that you're more involved in?
4th of July, for sure.
Oh, it's New Year's Eve for me. I don't really do anything 4th of July.
Man, I think it depends
really
on...
Who's really independent, man?
Do you go see fireworks?
No, there are a lot around where I am. A lot of my neighbors consider themselves connoisseurs of fireworks. We can sit on our back porch and see a ton. Not the, you know, the big park city thing, but we'll see. Right. But we'll go out, and we go out early. It's not like we're going and, you know, kissing at midnight in a restaurant in a masquerade ball or anything like that. But we will go somewhere and eat and have a couple pops and then come back home and celebrate New Year's. Like we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, you went at 3
o'clock. I can't remember the last time I was asleep. I don't think I've ever been asleep that I can remember and recall celebrating New Year's Eve at midnight on New Year's Day. I've never been asleep.
Yeah.
I've always been up.
Like we went to Meyer's Garden on New Year's Eve for dinner, just to eat and hang out and have a couple of drinks or whatever. And then it started getting crowded and we were like, well, see you later. Like,
yeah,
9 o'clock or 8:30 or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, our day started at 3:15. We went to a happy hour at 3:15. I was at home before 5:30 and it was the best night I've ever had. That's how you celebrate New Year's Eve, baby.
No, that's awesome. Does the Indiana story have any comps in college football history? Kansas State was the worst team in the country and Bill Snyder turned it around. Almost got a natty. Remember that? They lost in the Big 12 championship to like a crazy A&M comeback.
I don't think they were favored like by it.
Dude, they were favored by 2 or 3 touchdowns over A&M, I swear. And A&M staged this huge fourth quarter comeback. If not, K-State's playing for the national championship, and they were the worst team in the country for like 2 decades straight. TCU was close too, and they turned it around, and Gary Patterson got them to number 2 a couple of years. But doesn't this seem different?
We were just talking about this. I think it was off the air.
Right,
saying
this is the second worst FBS, well, Power 4, whatever, Power Conference team in the history of college football.
Yeah.
That had finished ranked in the top 10 twice in the history of their program and has now done it in back-to-back years. They've won more games in the past 2 years than they won in the previous 5 years before he got there, combined.
Yeah, we were talking about 5 years. We were talking about this yesterday. If Alabama and Indiana would have played 3 years ago, Bama would have been a 40-50 point favorite.
Yep, hands down. That's true.
And they got murdered by them.
They got dog walked. It was so remarkable to see it happening. And Indiana got off to that slow start because of a 1 month layoff, and you didn't see them get it clicking offensively until the second quarter. And once they did, my goodness, was that a beatdown?
Yeah. It was.
Oh, that was the
impressive
Sir Parker game with A&M and Kansas State, right?
Yeah,
and we got the movie.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it, Sir Parker. Let's see. Do we have time for any more? I don't know what you guys are dealing
one
with
more,
press
one
conference
more.
Wise. Okay.
One more.
As we approach the 1 year anniversary of Luka, and maybe we can get into this more when we have the 1 year anniversary, are we finally starting to see the sun peeking out with the organization? I don't know if that's the right word.
Right. I don't think that's the word. It's just you have to accept it. And a lot of people may have started to accept the fact that that happened.
Right. We just
and there's
live in
nothing
England
you can do about it.
Overcast and gross all the time.
But just think, if they did not get that number one overall pick, it would be right now here in Dallas.
Oh my God.
Then the answer would have been no. There's no sun. It's raining. It's just the worst weather ever.
The worst.
If you didn't have Cooper.
Yeah, that's true.
Now you would be saying we are the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, and that's not going to guarantee you that number one overall pick next year.
No, it wouldn't.
They that's the whole point.
Screwed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Snake. Thank you so much, man. Thanks for accommodating us early.